Welcome everybody to the War and Peace Fantasy Baseball Podcast. It is episode 19 for Tuesday, September 19th. I'm Alex Uwe, and I'm here today with Ray Estrada. What's up, Ray?
How's it going, man?
Are you getting ready for your head-to-head finals for all your fantasy leagues? I'm sure you're still sticking around most places.
I didn't do any head-to-head leagues this year. I mean, one league, but I'm the fifth place game, so. But I haven't paid attention to that league for weeks, so whatever.
Yeah, well, you know, for everybody out there, for most people at this point, league's over if you're out of your head-to-head matchups. But for those of you trying to win a championship, we will give you all the news and notes that you'll want to know when you're trying to decide what players to pick up for your matchups this week. And we'll get into all that later on. And yeah, anything else you wanted to mention here before we dive into some of the news recently?
No, let's get it going.
All right, here we go. I've got to do the news! We'll go ahead and start with what almost was history, and what was almost history in front of my very own eyes. Oh, I still can't believe it. Matt Boyd took a no-hitter into the top of the ninth inning against the White Sox. Got the first two outs of the inning, and then gave up a double to Tim Anderson with two outs to lose the no-hitter. The batter right after that, he got to ground out and completed the shutout, but man, oh man, that was something. I was in Detroit for the game with Alex Rudy, and we were not expecting to go to a Tigers-White Sox game at this time of year and see anything even remotely as exciting as that, but we did, and it almost happened right in front of us. So, you know, obviously, fantasy baseball relevance is that Matt Boyd is capable of that against a really bad team, so good for him. He's definitely the Tigers' best pitcher right now, which isn't saying much, but, you know, he's what they got, so not exactly looking at him for any matchups. Obviously, he started the Sunday game, so he's going to have like one start later this week, he's not going to be a major option for all you head-to-head fantasy folks out there. But yeah, what did you think about Matt Boyd? I don't know if you watched any of the game, but what do you think about him going forward? He's an interesting left-handed pitcher.
I was at the Ram game, so I wasn't watching that game. But yes, certainly intriguing. Although, like you said, one maybe two starts left this season's. But
that's for everybody.
We'll have to see who he matches up against. But the fact that he is capable of this against the poor White Sox team with 12 runs of support, if you run into that, then he could be a sleeper option.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in this season, you know, not sporting the best numbers for a really bad team. ERA is over 5, not striking out nearly as many batters as you'd like. He's at like 99 right now. But, you know, I feel like there were stretches of time in there where you could potentially see some value. Definitely not going to be a pitcher you draft next season. He might be a potential streaming option. I don't know. The Tigers are in shambles right now. We'll see where they're at next season. But that's enough about Matt Boyd. You know, so close on the no-hitter. Oh, man. I've never wanted to see anything so badly in person. But, you know, life goes on, and we'll get to there will be some other history being made around the league as well. From the offensive side of the ball, Matt Olson and Rhys Hoskins are still doing it all. They're the talk of the town, basically, now. Who's this Giancarlo Stanton character? Who's this Aaron Judge guy? These are the names that we want to know more about. Matt Olson is homered in his fourth straight game, bringing him up to 22 homers in, I think, like 54 games now. I'll go ahead and check that out. And Rhys Hoskins, obviously, he's at 18 homers in his first 38 games now. You can't really say anything enough about how this rate, like this insane rate that these guys are hitting at. And it's not like it's a home run rate that lasts for, you know, their first 20 games or something. The stretch of time that they've been able to see these hot streaks through has been really impressive. And I think we've been spoiled with how many of these super talented power hitting rookies that we've seen this year. Which one of these guys do you like better going forward, if you had to pick one of them?
For me, I like Hoskins. I've seen a little bit more of him. I have seen Olsen enough, but I like Hoskins because, I mean, we were talking about it before we started recording. He has kind of a Mike Trout kind of load. He has a lot of plate coverage. Matt Olsen, he's batting .267 this year, but that's kind of buoyed by a .290 in September. Crazy slash line September to go along with 11 home runs, .290, .397, .839. So absolutely tenored up, but Hoskins, we mentioned, that isn't a high strikeout guy, does walk a lot. So I like Hoskins a little bit better than Olsen, but Olsen is hot. And if a guy's hot, he's hot.
Yeah. Olsen, very, you know, unconventional looking swing, but the guy's got some monster power. I saw him knock one out at Fenway Park to the deepest, you know, into the deep section of right field there, like it was nothing. I mean, both of these guys have very legitimate power. It's not all luck that's getting these balls out of the ballpark. Now, obviously, you know, Olsen has like two doubles and Hoskins has four. So these numbers are going to balance out a little bit. They're not going to, you know, hit 50 homers apiece next year. At least I don't think they are. And there's going to be some regression coming. But I agree with you. Hoskins looks like the likely guy to see a bit less of the sophomore regression, just because he is really disciplined compared to many other rookies out there. It's impressive, you know. Hoskins, Judge, these guys are all walking too. The three true outcomes has never been truer. So, yeah. So some other news here: David Price, Lance McCullers, Adam Wainwright. What do all these guys have in common? They're all heading to the bullpen. Sad to say, if I told you this 2 or 3 years ago, you would think I'm nuts, because, you know, David Price and Adam Wainwright are premier names that have kind of slipped a little bit further due to injuries and what have you. And Lance McCullers, they're doing this more of like a precautionary innings limiting type move. We'll talk about the Astros situation a little bit, but, you know, David Price just came back from injury. They just want to get him going a little bit more for the playoffs. Is Price going to be back in the rotation pretty definitively for the playoffs, you think?
I would expect him to be, unless he really shines as like a relief guy, and that's how we were introduced to him in that 2008 playoffs. The thing is that this is really kind of their version of rehab, because the minor league seasons are over, so he can't go to AAA and get rehab starts and stuff. So they're going to give him inning two, three, maybe stretch him a little bit more depending upon where he is. But I think you could find value in Price because he has done a high-end bullpen role before, and he can probably get some strikeouts. McCullers, too, I think, can get strikeouts. Wainwright, if you're on the Wainwright train still, why are you on the Wainwright train? He has not been good all year. He hasn't been very good since he tore his Achilles. Wainwright is more of the performance base, why he's in the bullpen. But McCullers and Price, I think, could easily have some value, especially with their strikeouts.
Yeah, I mean, not really fantasy value for the rest of the regular season, sadly. So if you own them, you shouldn't anymore if you're in a yearly league. So that's unfortunate, of course. You know, what the Red Sox are running out there right now, I mean, Sale and Pomeranz are at the head of that rotation, but yeah, there's plenty of room for Price to be slotted right back in there. Porcello is not that impressive, and by that I mean he's, you know, giving up like the most runs in the league, so yeah, that's not impressive. It is impressive in one way, but not in the way we like. And yeah, So I think, David Price for next year is going to be something that's going to be pretty difficult to figure out. While Lance McCullers, I think next year is going to be a relatively safe bet. I think he's going to be right around that top 20 starting pitcher range for sure. Still super young, super dominant pitcher. And one other pitcher that I didn't write down here, but Garrett Richards is also doing a similar type of rehab. Like you mentioned, minor leagues are over, and Richards is just kind of rehabbing it as a starting pitcher because the Angels really don't have any good starting pitching at all. They can afford to throw Richards, 50 pitches and then 60,
You
70,
see,
get that pitch count up.
Bud Norris got a start the other day.
Yeah, what? I mean, he used to be a starter, so that makes a little more sense, but I mean, this is some
He was their
serious,
closer to start the year.
some serious Angels desperation going on right now, with the pitchers that they're running out there, and all around the league, really, you could find some puzzling starting pitchers. Not all of them you should really be looking at. Most of the players that we're going to talk about that you want to pick up for your head-to-head finals are going to be players that are a little more established and can actually get some good results. I mean, who is it for the A's that threw like that complete game shutout last week against the Phillies? Was that like Daniel Mangadin or whatever? Was that the guy? It's impossible to project a guy like that having one insane start of his entire career. If you did pick him up for that matchup, then good for you. But I'm not gonna bank on A's starting pitchers that haven't shown anything all year. I want a little bit of security here. And before we get into that, I'll also mention the teams that have clinched the playoffs at this point, and that's the Nationals, the Indians, and the Astros. And the Dodgers clinched the playoff berth, but not their division quite yet. So, all these teams gonna give their players plenty of rest because they can afford to. We can talk about how they want to play for best record in all of baseball, but there is something to be said for this level of security. For the Nationals, you guys like Daniel Murphy, you're not gonna play every day. Ryan Zimmerman, you're gonna get plenty of days off. The Indians don't have to play Edwin every day. They don't have to they don't have to push their guys really. Same goes for all these teams. So, let's go ahead and get right into the matchups for this week. We'll talk about a lot of the series, and a lot of the pitchers and hitters that you want to use. So on the pitching side of things, the very first one that'll be happening or today as of when this is going out, on Tuesday, German Marquez and Johnny Cueto are gonna face off at AT&T Park. That is gonna be the game that I'm looking for starting pitching right there. Johnny Cueto is definitely fallen under the radar since coming back from injury, and he hasn't really been that good this season anyway, for an awful team, no less. But I like pitchers at AT&T Park. I don't think you can go wrong with either one of them. I can see either one of them going at least quality start, type of outing, plenty of strikeouts there, on the Rockies lineup anyway. And and both these guys should be two-star pitchers for the week, so that's something to keep in mind as well. If you had to pick one, Ray, which guy do you like better in this matchup?
I would lean Marquez because he's going up against a lesser offense, and like I know AT&T Park kind of neutralizes that, but I mean the Rockies offense is still the Rockies offense, and they can not necessarily hit home runs in that park, but they can sing hit singles and doubles and such. But so I lean Marquez just because of the difference in offenses. Although the Giants can strike at any time, Posey's always dangerous, but Crawford and Belt, and those guys have been pretty terrible this year.
Yeah, and Belt's out for the season, so he's not even a
Oh
factor.
yeah, I forgot he's gone.
I'm gonna also say Marquez is my guy. He was on my radar right away. He's gonna be the one that I'm leaning on the most this week. And I think it's because of the win security. It definitely seems like he looks more in line to get a win or two this week. He faces off against Miami, or not Miami. Who do they play? The Miami's the series right after that. This weekend series, they're going to be taking on the, as I slowly scroll here through my, they're taking on the Padres.
Petco Park. Yeah.
That's
games that we're thinking about.
I should have known that already because I already did this research. But yeah, at the Padres, definitely a good matchup. That's a given right there. Obviously, if you're gonna want to use guys like John Gray, you know, you could even justify using Chad Bettis or any of the Padres pitchers there, like Chacin or Perdomo if he's getting a start here. I think he is.
Perdomo started today, yeah. So he should be going this weekend.
Because the Rockies lineup is, you know, it is pretty good lineup, but it's got a lot of strikeouts in there too. You know, Trevor Story is in there. Ian Desmond, if he's in the lineup, he's going to strike out plenty. Mark Reynolds. So in terms of strikeouts, Rockies are a good lineup to exploit, but it can easily backfire. So yeah, Rockies on the road, definitely a matchup to go after there. Next one I'll mention is Zach Godley, who's, you know, he's pitching tomorrow as well against the Padres. They're at Petco right now. That's the Diamondbacks. They lost today behind Patrick Corbin. And I don't know how much longer the Padres' luck against the Diamondbacks is going to continue. But I can 100% say that Zach Godley should beat Travis Wood tomorrow at Petco Park. But, you know, who knows anymore, right? Zach Godley's been really good. And he's also, you know, likely to make a second start this week against who the Diamondbacks got. They got the Marlins at home, so, you know, not as great a matchup, but two starts and one of them's at Petco. Absolutely go after Godley. Diamondbacks pitching in general has been really good. Who else we got here? We've got, oh yeah, Mike Clevinger is pitching against the Angels at Anaheim, obviously a really good pitcher's park there. If he can navigate, you know, Mike Trout and Justin Upton, he's basically in the clear. So still exploiting the Angels at every turn. Chase Anderson gets to pitch at PNC Park. You could make the case for any Brewers pitchers, really, or Pirates pitchers if you want to. I think the Brewers have the better win potential. But Chase Anderson is a really good one to use there. And, yeah, the Brewers are going back home to face the Cubs at the back half of the week. So things change a little bit there. But while they're at PNC, definitely going with Chase Anderson. I feel like I've done a lot of talking here. I haven't given you nearly enough time to talk, Ray. So is there anything about either of these three pitchers that stands out to you? Any notes on them? Or are we all good? No? Okay. Something might be wrong. Well, I think considering it's just me doing a lot of this
today against anyway, Pirates, like you mentioned.
There you are. You were not audible for a while.
Yeah, I was not hearing you either at the end of it.
Okay. Well, what you got?
I was talking about Chase Anderson. I think he's probably your most reliable option out of those because he's been good all year, really. The Brewers kind of miss him in that middle, like, for early part of the second half, but he's been very, very solid this year. 2.88 ERA, 1.12 WHIP. Like you mentioned, playing at PNC Park, and So out of those three guys, I mean, can't go wrong with lots of the Indian guys, especially the pitchers have been hot at Anaheim. And then you always kind of want to bet against the Padres, even though they're at home, and they somehow, when they play garbage time, they can win and help the Dodgers clinch divisions. But Chase Anderson is your most reliable guy out of those three.
Yeah, I gotta agree with you there. So, you know, a lot of these pitchers we're talking about, you know, good pitchers, good streaming type pitchers. We're not going through the Clayton Kershaws and the Max Scherzers. We know what they're doing. We know they're good. And if they, for whatever reason, don't pitch to their usual standard, there's nothing you can do about that. There's nothing you can predict there. And I know it's been rough recently. You know, Kershaw gave up the first grand slam of his career today against the Phillies, and you couldn't predict that, lost the game. Nothing you can do there. Scherzer gave up like 7 earned runs. Half those came in like after he was out of the game. So there's a lot of intangible factors here. We're giving you the names that you'll want to know about for the things you can't control, who you can pick up, and how you can make your team better for this week. It's all or nothing right now. So, yeah, I think also in that Anaheim series against the Indians, Danny Salazar is possibly slated to start one of those games, and he's been pitching out of the bullpen. So if Salazar gets a start, I will absolutely 100% want him on my roster. That's a lot of strikeouts in that arm. So
yep,
go after that one there. Yeah, and then Brad Peacock is another guy who somewhat related to the Lance McCullers news. Since he is in the pen, that means Peacock is getting the start against who is he starting against? Why don't I have anything prepared? What's wrong with me? I did know at one point in my life. Let me see here.
The White Sox at home. So, yeah, I love that matchup.
White Sox anywhere. White Sox. I mean, they almost got no hit by Matt Boyd. So
yeah, and he'll get plenty of run support because he's going up against James Shields.
Yep, and he could go 5 innings, get the win, and strike out like 9 batters in 5 innings because it's just that kind of game. So, you know, Peacock, as he has been all year, the K machine, definitely want him. So the last couple of pitchers I'll mention here, we've thrown a lot of names out there. A couple Cardinals pitchers, Jack Flaherty and Luke Weaver, both young pitchers for the Cardinals, and they are going up against the Reds this week for the second straight start. Last week they had a home series against the Reds. This time they're on the road at the hitter-friendly Great American Ballpark. Do you think that these pitchers are worth using this week? Because, you know, Weaver has been fantastic. Flaherty hasn't been great, but he, you know, he's got a lot of potential. He can definitely get the job done in the right matchup. But go into a tougher ballpark and facing a team that just saw them, you know, less than 7 days ago, that definitely has an effect on pitchers. They are the ones who have to adjust the most, I would say. You know, the hitters, you know, have that same mindset still from it's fresh in their minds how they're going to approach facing these pitchers. And these are not veteran pitchers who are used to scenarios like this. They have to adjust on a very quick turnaround. So what is your take on the back-to-back start against the same team type of approach? Do you think these pitchers are safe enough to use in this situation, or are you a little bit weary?
I think the back-to-back gives me enough time. Like, it's a big enough pause on Flaherty. I would stay away from Flaherty. He's only 21. And he obviously hasn't been as good as Weaver this year. Weaver, I think, is a little more interesting because he's been very solid this year against good teams. I still think you want to roll with Weaver, even though it is second choice start in a not preferable ballpark. But I roll with Weaver. He's been solid all year.
Well, he's been fantastic all year, actually.
Oh yeah, I mean,
not him at all. And I kind of lump them together. They're having, you know, pretty different years. Flaherty's much newer to the league. But just the fact that they're going up against an unimpressive Reds lineup, really. I mean, who's going to do damage other than, you know, Votto and, you know, maybe Suarez? Scooter Gennett could do damage. Zach Cozart. These are just a few names. Those are the only names I think I can name from this team that are really going to hurt either of these guys. It's hard at this point. I did pick up Flaherty in one of my leagues. It's just a desperation move. I needed a starting pitcher, and this matchup seemed to be a pretty good one. So, you know, it's all about what's available. It's all about what you need to do. you know, it is still against the Reds, so worst case scenario, I don't think it's going to be that bad for either one of them. But yeah, I mean, Luke Weaver is definitely not under the radar anymore. He's on everybody's radar at this point, but you know, if you got him, this is a good time to use him, I think. So yeah, I think that's an appropriate amount of pitcher discussion for the week. Wouldn't you say so? We basically did our normal weekend preview matchup, but for the entire week.
Yeah.
I'm exhausted. Okay.
A lot of pitchers.
Let me take a deep breath here. Talk about some hitters. You ready?
Yep.
All right. Back to talking at a million miles an hour here. Let's start with the Orioles here, who are going to be at home pretty much all week, finishing up against the Red Sox, and then are going to play the Rays in their home ballpark. One name that comes to mind right away is Tim Beckham, who obviously was on the Rays earlier this year and has been an entirely different player with the Orioles since being traded, and he is really, really good now. He's been tearing the cover off the ball. I think that is definitely going to continue against his former team. So, you know, Tim Beckham is probably owned in many places, but if you got him, or if you can, you know, somehow pick him up, then absolutely do so, because he's warranted it. He's done plenty to earn it at this point. 22 homers on the year, his average is up to 282, and he's got a few stolen bases under his belt too. The thing is also with, you know, the hitters that I'm going to mention, most of these guys obviously are potentially on the waiver wire in some cases, or just, you know, kind of so-and-so players that on the year, but there's certain things that you have to pay attention to in your specific leagues. If you need stolen bases, which I think everybody at this point needs stolen bases, you definitely need to address that issue. So if that means that you have to, you know, pick up Michael Taylor in the hopes that he steals a couple bases this week, or even, you know, a guy that will play not nearly as much. I'm going to use, like, the same team, Victor Robles, who is, you know, not an everyday starter for this team, September call-up type guy. But if he can steal you two bases throughout the course of the week, that could be a huge difference maker. You have to pay attention to what you need. I can't help you with that. I can help you with the names that'll get you there, though. So yeah, also looking at a good matchup for hitters, Tigers get to face Oakland A's pitching early this week, and then later in the week are going to face the Twins. So really weak pitching all week against the Tigers. Tigers not a good team at all, really. But the names that are relevant would be Ian Kinsler, Nick Castellanos. Those are two players that I would definitely want in my lineup, two players that could be heating up, and the rest of the team is basically a lost cause. But, you know, pick up the little scraps that you can along the way. Yeah, any other, like, Tigers or Orioles hitters that stand out to you so far, Ray?
Outside of the big ones, not really. The other thing I will say about Kinsler is, he has 5 home runs a month. He quietly has 19 home runs in the year, but not a huge average guy. Castellanos, I don't have his, let me see if I can pull him really quick. But Castellanos is having a very solid year for a bad Tigers team. So if you're stuck between either Kinsler or Castellanos, I would go with Castellanos.
Yeah, Castellanos, you know, has been actually not awful this year. Offensively, he's got like an 805 OPS, 23 homers and 92 RBI, and a 270 average. So he's been doing a nice job, and he's been playing right field for this team. I don't know if that's made the news anywhere or if it's been relevant.
I certainly haven't heard it.
I definitely noticed the significant difference when he was the right fielder when the no-hitter was broken up. I keep coming back to that. I can't get away from it. Definitely should have used a defensive replacement there.
Yeah, here's what I'll note about between Kinsler and Castellanos. Kinsler does have one more home run on the month, but Castellanos is batting 400, 411 on base, 686 slugging, whereas Kinsler is 208 for the month. So
for
the
month
of September. Yeah, so Castellanos a little more performing better around the board, maybe probably about even with Kinsler and Power right now. So
yeah,
Castellanos is certainly the better option.
You could also go out and pick up Jaime Candelario, who is currently playing third base for the Tigers right now. And he's been doing well since joining the big league club. He's got an 831 OPS with like a 278 average, three homers. So he could be an interesting one to use against some really weak pitching. Very low risk there. So, you know, that's always a good thing. Let's talk about the Dodgers, who are facing the Phillies basically this entire week, it feels like, all the way through Thursday. It's a four-game set. So, you know, use whatever Dodgers are out there. You know, maybe Forsythe's out there in some places. Chris Taylor, I mean, he's been really good all year, but he hit an inside the park home run today. He looks poised to do a little bit of damage against a really bad team. He hasn't really done much of anything on this losing streak the Dodgers have been on. So, yeah, any other Dodgers that look like they should be getting some at-bats and getting some good value?
Yeah, the thing about the Dodgers is it's difficult to predict playing time. Granish is beginning a lot of at-bats when it looks like they should be shuffling left fielders, but Granderson's been getting a lot of lineup time. But outside of the top four of Taylor, Seager is dealing with a little bit of a elbow issue again, Turner and Bellinger, nobody's getting really consistent playing time. Forsythe and Nutley are kind of platooning. Kiki's in there every once in a while. Verdugo's getting at-bats. Granderson's getting at-bats. Ether's in there every once in a while. Puig's playing every day too, but Puig's kind of another guy. If people haven't realized, he's having a pretty good year.
I think most people have realized by now. But
yeah, but outside of like the I guess big four or five, nobody's getting enough playing time to, except maybe Forsythe, if Utley's too old to go. I don't know, but it's hard to endorse a lot of guys who aren't guaranteed to play even like half the week.
Yeah, I think that's a good point too. So, you know, favorable matchup for the Dodgers, but unless you know the lineups that they're rolling out, they're really kind of an unfortunate situation with just how many players they have and running out there. You can't really predict anything with these guys.
Yeah, because we mentioned Austin Barnes before the show, but the thing is, Grandal's got to get his at-bats. He's got to try and get hot for October. Yep. Barnes can play second, but if Forsythe is hitting well, then Forsythe is going to get those right-handed at-bats. So Barnes, you could look at him and say, oh, he's hitting well, but the thing is, he's not going to get enough playing time to really warrant an endorsement.
Way too many players right now, right? And, you know, that goes back to the whole playoffs being clinched thing. They just need to get everybody their at-bats. That's what they're doing.
Yeah, you're in it for October.
Different than getting the competitive teams lineups in there. So another good series that is worth watching later in the week is the Royals and Blue Jays at Rogers Center. So, you know, the Royals get a rare opportunity to play against a team at their very hitter-friendly ballpark. So I would not use any of the pitching in this matchup, obviously, throughout the week. I mean, not that there's anything super impressive anyway. But I would go after hitters like Melky Cabrera for the Royals. Maybe, you know, Brandon Moss has been hot for a little while. Royals that you wouldn't normally think of in there. I mean, most people already have Merrifield and Hosmer and Moustakas in there. So any of those lower in the lineup type Royals hitters that you could go after, you can try. I think Melky and Moss are the most obvious ones. And then everybody else is just getting mixed and matched. It's all a mess. So those are the main names there. Kevin Pillar for the Blue Jays has also been an interesting guy. Not hitting up at the top of the lineup, but has been hitting pretty well over the last couple of weeks. So he could be a guy you could pick up as well. And the Blue Jays have had a different leadoff hitter basically every single day, so there's no predicting anything really. The only guys you can use are Donaldson and Smoke, maybe Morales. But the Blue Jays lineup really has fallen apart very quickly. So, did you have anything on that series or... You good?
No, if anybody wants to know, like, how Pilar is doing for the month of September, 286, 328, 476 slash line with three home runs during the month. So 16 home runs in the year, only 42 RBIs, but kind of a quietly solid stretch going right now. So if you need that little kind of consistency in your fantasy lineup, then he could provide it right now
Yeah.
quietly.
That's a very good slash line. He's a super streaky player though in general.
Yeah.
Speaking of that, I want to backtrack here to a series we already talked about, which would be the Rays visiting the Orioles. I definitely think that Kevin Kiermaier, who is probably owned in many leagues already, is a must own for this series. He's a must play. He definitely will benefit from the very, very lefty, hitter-friendly Camden Yards. And, he's just a really good hitter anyway, really underrated guy, mostly known for his defense. So Kevin Kiermaier, another name, that is very significant this week, in my opinion. All right. One more thing that I'll mention is that the Red Sox are at Great American Ballpark at the end of the week. We talked about the Cardinals being there early on, and then the weekend series, the Red Sox are in town for interleague play. So Red Sox bats all the way at this, in this whole weekend. Now, not that there's a ton of Red Sox hitters that are available on the waiver wire anyway, but obviously the right-handed batters at the top of the order, Bogaerts, Pedroia, guys who really haven't, been all that valuable this season, definitely could have a nice little burst here of productivity in this situation for the weekend. So definitely jump on that if you can. If you can find any other Red Sox hitters out there, then jump on that as well for that series, because everybody wants to hit at this ballpark. It's a really easy go-to place. So I think that is plenty of hitters to talk about as well. My head is spinning right now. I don't know about you. So anything else before we wrap it up for today?
No, I mean, we covered a hell of a lot in the show. So I don't have much. I don't really have anything to add.
Yeah, I mean, one last time I'll say it. I don't think I said it earlier. Good luck to all of you that are still in it right now. It's been a long season. You don't want to get lazy right now. That's the worst time to do it. You gotta finish strong. And even everybody not in head-to-head leagues, I hope that these matchups will help. If you're in, your standard roto or points leagues or whatever, chase down those final 2 weeks and finish strong, because you're not gonna get any fantasy baseball for a while until next season, and then you're gonna be really sad. So make it count right now. I mean,
Is there Fantasy Arizona Fall League?
I don't know about that. If there isn't, then I really wish there was. And if there is, I need to find out more about that, because that sounds like a really good idea. So, yeah, for all of you that are still playing fantasy baseball and not completely consumed by your fantasy football leagues, good on you. I say you picked the right sport to fantasy baseball with right there. So, yeah, it is late here. We've been spewing out names and news for a while now, so we are going to end off the show. But thanks again, everybody, for joining us. As always, we'd really appreciate any feedback you have. Rate, review, subscribe on iTunes or YouTube. Leave us comments on any of those places as well. And yeah, if you want to, chat with us anywhere else, we are on Twitter at WPB_podcast. That's a great way to reach us. You can email us at warandpeacebaseball@gmail.com. And you should also check out our website. Link for that is down below. It's got all our podcasts and some articles that we've been writing. I recently wrote one about Ender Inciarte, and it's a little bit different than most articles, I will say. It's probably regarding something that very few people seem to care much about, but I was very interested in it. It was when Inciarte stole second base and took D. Gordon's glove off in the process, even though Gordon had the ball secured in his glove when the tag was applied. Inciarte somehow took the glove off of his hand, and he was called safe. So If you want to hear more about that scenario, I did way too much research and writing on that, so you should check it out. Anything else here before we end off, Ray?
No, I'm good.
All right. Well, you know, that's a good place to end it right here. So thanks again, everybody. I'll throw it to you this time because Farbode's not here. We'll be on later this week too, I should mention, with the regular fantasy. No, I said fantasy. No, what's wrong with me? The regular.
This is the fantasy show.
This is the fantasy show. We flip flopped it this week because we need to get you all the fantasy news for your head to head matchups and all that. So later this week we'll have the regular show, and we should be back on a fairly normal schedule going forward. We're all getting back to school. We're getting back into our groove as the season's winding down. So, be on the lookout for more stuff and more updates as we go along. So, thanks again, everybody. As always, Ray.
Peace.